Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Come on. Hey, open up your Bibles if you got them. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going in right now. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. This is where we're going to spend the heart of our message kind of comes from this scripture. And so if you'll journey with me, I'm reading from the Message translation. I just thought it was worded really, really interesting. And so I thought I would read that to you. Is that okay? 1 Peter 5:8, this is what it says. It says, keep a cool head and stay alert. Everyone say, stay alert. Stay alert. It says, the devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. See, what I believe that what we're going to talk about today is that the devil really wants to catch you napping. You know why? Because there's no way he can overpower you. God said that we have all authority given to us. That the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the power that's alive in you. Did you know that the Spirit of God is alive in you? And that power is present. It's active. How many of you believe that Jesus is still alive today? And so if the devil knows that he can't get you just straight up what he tries to do, you got to know the tactic of the enemy, right? Because when you know the enemy's playbook, they're easily defeated. And his tactic is this, is not to just take you head on, no, but to wait until you're vulnerable, to wait until you've been napping, to wait until you're asleep, to wait until your guard is down, because that's the only way possible he could make his move. And so today, the title of my message, if you're taking notes today, write this down, is this, stay woke. Everyone say, stay woke. And I understand, maybe you don't understand what that means. I just came from Empire Conference, so I still got a little young blood in me. But if you don't understand that, you can write down stay alert. That works too. And if you don't understand that, just write down life alert, okay? And then we'll come pray for you. Stay woke. That's the idea. That's the message. And we're going to be pulling from the story now of Matthew chapter 26. And what this is the night before Jesus is to be taken away to be crucified. And so we see him, he's with his disciples and he's praying. And so this is how the story goes. It says, then Jesus went with them to a garden called Gethsemane and told his disciples, stay here while I go over there and pray. Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into an agonizing sorrow. Then he said, this sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me. What he's saying is, hey, keep vigil, keep watch, be on the lookout. Don't get caught napping. Be alert, be awake, and be ready for anything. Be woke, okay? Stay on the lookout. Be on your toes and be ready. And going a little ahead, he fell on his face praying, my Father, if there's any other way, get me out of this. But then he comes back and he says, but please, not what I want, you. It's all about what do you want? And when he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep, not very vigil. He said to Peter, can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert. Everyone say, stay woke. Stay woke. Be in prayer so that you don't wander into temptation without even knowing that you're in danger. There's a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God, but there's another part that's as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. So can we pray? It's a good thing to pray so we don't wander into temptation. Can we pray to start? God, I thank you so much for everything that you have done. God, and enjoy church over the many years that we've been here. God, I pray that today you would launch a new season. God, I pray for new growth, for more family members. God, I pray for more campuses, even the ones that's launching today. God, I pray that you would just bless every person that hears this word. God, I pray that we would be alert. God, I pray that we would live empowered, not weakened, but empowered by your Spirit. We turn our hearts and our eyes and our ears to you today. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't fall asleep. This is the later service, so by now you should probably be awake, right? Look at somebody else and say, stay woke. Stay woke. Give them a little smack if you need to. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. But I keep talking about sleep like it's a bad thing, but in reality, sleep is very necessary. Would anybody agree? Anybody love a good sleeping in? See, I know you do because this is a later service, right? You're like, all those guys at 9 a.m., they don't even know what they're doing. You guys are the party people. You probably stayed out a little bit too late last night and you're like, okay, let's get the day going. Or maybe you just want to sleep in. Anybody? You like sleeping in, right? And so sleep is a good thing. And I know how you feel because my day off isn't Sunday. Obviously, that'd be weird as a pastor. But my day off is on Monday. And so the last thing that I want to hear on my Monday is this sound coming from my phone. Does anybody use that tone as your alarm? In fact, I hear some people use that as their ringtone, and I just go, Can you please not do that? That reminds me of the worst part of my day, waking up. And so there's days on my day off, right, where that sound goes off and I'm like, oh, I don't like hearing that sound because I would rather sleep in. But my wife uses a different tone. She uses this one. And I'm like, I don't know how you use that because that wants to put me back to sleep. Like, that sounds more like a lullaby, right? And so I was looking for the perfect sound that would work out. And so what would work as a good alarm clock sound? And then I found one. It's called alarm. And I thought, well, that seems to be suiting, right? And so I said it, and then the next morning I woke up to this. Can I tell you I woke up like, what is happening? Is there something about to explode? Like, am I in a James Bond movie? What's happening? I was scared, man. I didn't know what was going to happen. Because the alarm clock went off, I woke up in a panic. Have you ever had those days where you wake up and you're like, oh no, it's my day off, okay. Or there's sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night like, am I late? What time is it? Oh, it's 2 a.m. Oh, sweet, okay, I still got 4 more hours, okay. That's like it's like the worst when you wake up at 2 a.m., but it's the best because you're like, oh, I still get more time. And so there's those moments, right, where we wake up in a panic and it reminds me a lot of my son. I have two sons. Like they said, I have James, who's 2 years old, and then I have Judah, who's 5 months old. And Judah, every time he wakes up, he's screaming. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, you have the most perfect life. You don't change your own diaper. You don't feed yourself. Everything is brought to you. What more could you possibly want? And so I started looking through his eyes just a little bit. I'm trying to exercise more compassion. It's not a gift of mine. It's more like people go to my wife. But I was like, okay, well, let me think, because babies sleep kind of like, what, anybody have young kids, right? Like, babies, they kind of sleep kind of not like we do. They sleep like almost like every 2 hours, right? And so every time he wakes up, he'll sleep in his car seat. Every time he wakes up, he's in a new location. That would be a little frightening. But not only that, when he wakes up, he's strapped down to his car seat. Would anybody else have a problem with that? That would not be nice. But the thing I think that puts it over the edge is when he wakes up, babies are so cute. And you know, when they wake up and they're stretching, they're rubbing their eyes, like, oh, he's just so cute. Anytime Judah wakes up, someone's probably in his face like, oh, that's just so cute. If somebody were leaning over your bed when you woke up, like, oh, you're just so, you would have the same reaction too. Like, ah! They get like a ninja kick to the face and their teeth knocked out. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody, I don't want anybody watching me when I sleep. You don't want people watching you when you sleep, right? Two reasons. One, that's weird. Don't do that. That's scary. But two, what happens when we're asleep is we're very vulnerable and we have no way of knowing what danger is around us. And therefore, because we cannot perceive the danger, we have no defense against it. And you know exactly what I'm talking about if you've ever been to a party and you fell asleep first. You ever done like the hand in the warm water? See, I know this is Pastor Shane's church. I know you. I know you probably did that. There's something I read about online, and I thought it was really interesting because they classified it as a prank, but I don't see it that way because they said if you put an ice cube in somebody's ear, by the way, don't do this. They said the cold water would go into their ear canal. They would wake up nauseous and vomiting. I'm like, that's not a prank. That is assault. Like, that should be a crime and outlawed. That's awful. I'm taking somebody to the hospital if they're doing that. But then there's the other classic where it's like you put the shaving cream on their hand and then you tickle the nose, right? Like, I mean, we did that when we were in college. But I remember it was about 2 years ago, my friend Pastor Josh, who's here with me, he got married. And so for his bachelor party, we did what all good youth pastors do. We stayed up till 4 a.m. playing video games. And so we're playing video games, and at some point, somebody had to fall asleep. And so it just happened to be our friend Justin. And so at 4 a.m., you got a bunch of 20-something-year-old men, and that's when your best ideas come out. So he said, what should we do? And the best idea that we came up with, I'm not lying, was this. Hey, how about we get a slow motion camera and we slap him in the face? And that's what we did. And we slapped him in the face. We're watching the video and we're just all laughing hysterically. Everybody except for Justin. And we're like, dude, just come on. It was funny. But you know who didn't think it was funny? Him. He wasn't laughing very hard. But you know what happens when we're asleep is we don't know what is being plotted against us. There's no way to perceive the danger that we're actually in. And because we don't know what's happening around us, therefore we have no defense. Can I tell you, it's the same spiritually. that when we are asleep, and what I mean by that is we're not spiritually aware, when we don't understand that the devil is prowling around in the darkness waiting for us. But look at this. He's not going to take you head on because he can't take you head on. God has given you all authority, and no matter what comes your way, greater is the spirit in you than that which is against you. I don't say this to bring fear into your life, because you shouldn't fear something you can easily overpower. What I'm saying is not don't be afraid. What I'm saying is just be aware. Because if you can see it, you can defeat it. I'm telling you, this is so important that you stay awake, you stay alert. Because what happens is this, is that if we can bring in the light into the darkness, I love the song we said, when we can bring the light into the darkness must leave, and the light will expose everything that hides into the darkness, all the evil plans. And I love there's a scripture even in Ephesians where Paul is writing, he says, whatever happens in the darkness will be exposed by the light. And so it goes on to quote the Old Testament to say, wake up, O sleeper, and let the light of Christ shine on you. I believe that scripture is prophetic for our generation that can access the world at any given point because of the technology to say, wake up, O sleeping generation, and let the light of Christ shine from within you to light the world, and let everybody hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You have light in you. Wake up, O sleeper, and see. Let the light of Christ shine on your life. But it only happens, right? We can only be attacked when we are asleep. And so I think there's a few things that cause us to fall asleep that I want to talk about today so that you are aware. Again, you should never be afraid, because there's a greater spirit in you. The thing that you need to do is be aware. So what causes us to fall asleep? The first thing I'd have you jot down about it tonight is this, is fatigue. Fatigue will cause us to fall asleep. Fatigue causes us to fall asleep. And what I wrote down about fatigue is this, is that when we work hard on things that don't matter, when we're exerting energy on side projects, side things, other hobbies, other things to replenish us, the opposite actually happens, because we're going somewhere else for our fulfillment. Working hard on things that don't matter, fatigue. My wife can fall asleep anywhere. She has no problem, no issue, regardless. And it's funny, because I have a whole photo album on my phone of pictures of my wife sleeping, not like in a creepy way, more like because she's in a car like this. I have enough evidence on my phone to make her delete her social media. Pictures of her sleeping in the weirdest places. Like, what are you doing? I have a picture of her sleeping literally on the floor after a Sunday morning service one time. I'm like, what are you doing? Now, me, on the other hand, I can't sleep at all unless the setting is perfect. Can anybody identify? You know what I'm talking about? Like, unless, of course, the room is like a crisp 18 degrees, it's nice and cool, I need to have the blanket pulled all the way up under my chin, right? And then, I don't know if anybody else does this, I'm putting myself out there, because I might be the only one, in which case it's weird, but I don't like having 2 feet under the blankets, because that's too hot. But you can't have 2 feet out of the blankets, because that gets way too cold. So you have 1 foot in the blanket and then 1 foot out of the blanket. Anybody else do that? Oh, praise God. Okay. And then I have to find the most comfortable spot. So I spin and I rotate like a rotisserie chicken until I can find the most perfect spot 3 times. And then it was actually this place that I started out with. So it takes me a while until I have the perfect setting. Unless, of course, I was at Empire Conference all day long. Because your boy got tired yesterday. And when I got to the hotel, I fell asleep before my head even hit the pillow. And so when we're fatigued, we fall asleep really easily. And I believe that the same is true spiritually. That when we are fatigued, we let our guard down, and all of a sudden we become vulnerable when we are fatigued. But how is it that we get fatigued? It's when we chase things that don't matter. But the problem is we think that it fills us up. There's nothing wrong with taking a holiday, but understand this, it's a distraction. It's not a replenishing. You know how I know that? Because when you leave your problems and you go away and you come back, guess what meets you right at the front door? Those same problems you left. And they're good, okay? They're helpful. They're just not healing. They can't replenish you. They're good things. They're just not going to refuel you. They're not going to replenish you. Only Jesus can do that. And so what I've found is this. I compared to anybody like Disney movies? Love Disney movies. There's the movie The Jungle Book, you know what I'm talking about, and the story of Mowgli, and I love this because he's with the serpent and he's trying to get him to fall asleep so he can eat him, right? And he goes, trust
trust in me.
You know what I'm talking about? He's trying to like lullaby him, get him to sleep. Why? Because he knew that if he called for Bagheera, then the panther would come and rip the serpent to shreds. But as long as Mowgli was asleep, then he couldn't call and access that power source, and therefore he could take him out. Can I tell you, the devil, the serpent, wants to get you to fall asleep so that you can't access the source of power that could come and rip the serpent to shreds? Don't let him catch you napping. Come on, stay alert, stay awake, stay woke. Don't chase all these other things. They won't fulfill you. Come back to the fountain of the Father's love and let him replenish you. Does anybody need replenishing today? Does anybody need refreshment today? I pray that the breath of God breathes on you today. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth and basically these things will just disappear and fly away. And Jesus is talking to his disciples in this passage, and he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's one thing that he says. And I totally understand, because I really want to be a good husband. But man, there's times where I just feel like I don't have the capacity or the time to plan a good date. And so therefore, I just say, oh, it'll just happen at home. But then it ends up being not significant. It's just kind of another night. The kids are screaming anyway. It's crazy. And then I feel like I'm not being a good husband. I really, really want to be a good parent, but I exert myself all day at the office. And then when I come home, I'm just like, okay, just give me 5 minutes to sit on the couch. Well, that 5 minutes turns into 2 hours. I don't feel like I'm replenished because I'm thinking that the TV is going to give that to me. And then I end up going to bed and I didn't spend any time with my kids. The spirit is willing, but the flesh sometimes can be weak. But that's where the Bible says this. It says, when you refresh others, that you yourself will be refreshed. And I love that, because it's weird, right? You're exerting your energy, but in turn, you get energized from it. Jesus even said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to the Father. Come to the fountain. Let him replenish you, because that's where your fatigue can be replenished, where you can have your life back. Amen? Fatigue sometimes can cause us to fall asleep. Second thing that can cause us to fall asleep is routine. Routine can easily cause us to fall asleep. And I would classify routine as this, as being bored in the middle of something that should be exciting. Being bored in the middle of something that at one point it stole your heart. And here's what I gotta put a disclaimer out there. Routine is not a bad thing, okay? Order is good, chaos is bad. But the problem is when the passion and the purpose that got us into that routine are removed, but the actions still remain. As in, our hands are still doing what they're doing, but our heart left the scene a long time ago. Can I tell you, it's a very dangerous place when your relationship is ran by routine. My wife and I, we got married just about 5 years ago, and we dated for 7 years before we got engaged. You might be sizing me up right now, like, how old are you? And so it's biblical, though, for a Jacob to date for 7 years before he takes his bride. In Genesis, no, I'm kidding, we were 14 when we started dating, so we were young. And then when we got married, I remember, though, standing at the altar and seeing her walk down the middle saying, this is the love of my life. This is the woman I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with, and it's gonna be so much easier now because I don't gotta drop her off at her parents' house, praise God, she's gonna live with me. And every single morning, I get to wake up and see her right there next to me. I'm so excited. Every day, I'm gonna pursue her with this kind of same love and passion. And then you're married for 5 years. And a little bit of routine begins to settle in. And can I tell you, I understand that that is only 5 years. There's people in here that have been married for probably 10, 20. Has anybody been married in here for 30 years? Come on, it's awesome, it's fantastic. Give it up for these people. That's amazing, by the way. I love that. You need to send me your notes so I can learn. But at some point in marriage, right, in your relationship or friendship maybe even, a routine will take over. But can I tell you, man, there's nothing wrong with having organized dates. But the problem is sometimes we leave our passion at the altar. We need to bring that passion back and show that person that we love them, not just with our schedule, but with our heart. You know why? Because I think sometimes we treat church the exact same way. We treat our relationship with God as a schedule and not a priority in our heart. That we limit God to a Sunday morning experience and not as a lifestyle. I love kind of what Jesus is saying. He said, couldn't you even spend 1 hour in prayer? Because sometimes we can come in here, right, on a Sunday morning, and we just kind of do our thing, bounce in, bounce out, kind of like Pastor Shane was saying in the video. But sometimes we can forget that we're actually going into the place to worship the creator of heaven and earth that saved us. I think a lot of us have a story of where God delivered you from something. Maybe you can remember that first encounter with the Holy Spirit that you had. Maybe you remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus. Do you remember the passion that you had? Hey, come on, I wouldn't want us to ever just come in and leave and get stuck in a routine that we forget the fact that we're walking into the Father's house to praise the God that gave us his son to die on a cross so that we wouldn't have to pay the price, but we have the grace of Jesus, amen? Come on, that's good news. We got to let that be the thing that drives us. Remember the passion, remember the story, remember that encounter with Jesus, and let that be what drives you every day before you walk into the church doors. Make the decision, I'm going to worship like it's my last chance. Come on, every day. He says, couldn't you stay and pray with me even an hour? And couldn't you sit in church and not be on Instagram for just an hour? Couldn't you just for an hour not worry about what you're going to do later, but just engage with me for an hour? And I'm like, you know what? Jesus would have been so mad at me. I would have been off somewhere. I don't know. Three letters, ADD. It's a real thing, okay? Would have been bouncing all over the place. But he says, couldn't you just stay in prayer? And then he said, stay in prayer and stay alert so that you don't fall into temptation. And I thought this was really interesting because this is a moment where Jesus is about to be crucified. I would have been like, hey, this is about to be hard. I need you to be praying for me, okay? I'm talking, bring out your best prayers, your Holy Spirit dance, whatever you got. Just be praying for me because this is about to be really difficult. But Jesus is selfless and he looks at Peter and he says, hey, there's going to be temptation that comes your way. You need to be prepared. You need to stay in prayer for yourself. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think that these things that we have on Tuesday, the prayer meeting, you need to go to those things. You need to be in a place where you can alert your spirit. You need to be in a place where you can strengthen your spirit. You need to be in a place where you can honor God with your time, but with your heart and your communication, you can be with him. He said, couldn't you pray for even an hour? And then he goes on to say, there's part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God. But then I love, this is why I read the translation, because I think it's interesting. He says, but there's another part of you that's like a lazy dog sitting by the fire. And where was Peter that next night? By the fire. It's perfect. As Jesus was being taken away, right? Somebody said, hey, weren't you one of those Jesus followers? And he totally steps away from his faith. And he said, no. I was not one of those guys. He wasn't able to stay awake. He wasn't able to stay in prayer. And because of that, when temptation came, he fell. But can I tell you, Jesus was on his face. He was praying so intently that when the biggest temptation came to say, you know what? I don't want to do this, God. I'm all done. Peace out. I'm not doing this thing anymore. He resisted that temptation. Said, okay, if this is your will, then I will walk in it because I love these people so much. I will do whatever I need to do to restore the relationship between creator and creation. He didn't fall to temptation. Why? Because he was alert. He was awake. He was in praying. He was praying. And that's what we got to implement into our life, is a life of prayer. And I love, there's a preacher that broke down this text one time. He said, rarely do I pray for a full hour, but rarely do I go a full hour without praying. As in, I think it's good for us to start the day with an open-ended conversation from God. We start praying and we don't say amen. We just keep going all day long. That we just pray and we live a lifestyle of prayer so that we can always stay alert and be on our toes. It's not getting out of a routine. It's about implementing the purpose and the passion back into it. And the third thing I think that can cause us to fall asleep is comfort. Comfort can cause us to fall asleep. And what I wrote about comfort is sometimes we can have success that will actually limit future success. Isn't that an interesting concept? Sometimes we can taste a little bit of success. Maybe you got an early promotion in your job and you were just so excited about it, you just kind of settled in right there. And then 5 years later, you look around and everybody else is surpassing you and you're like, what in the world is happening? Because you lost that drive. Maybe you started a business and you got some early success and you thought that that would just carry you on. But man, can I tell you, anything that is not growing is dying. Anything that is not progressing is regressing. Man, I'm telling you, it's so important that you just keep on going. You keep on growing. Regardless of your age, God is never done with you. You got to keep believing that God has more in store for you. You know, I was praying in my hotel room this morning, which I'm getting some great sleep, by the way, because I don't have a two-year-old rolling around in my bed. pray for us. He's still in our bed, okay? And I was praying, and as I was praying, I just felt like there was a demon in the room. And so much so, I just grabbed it and I brought it with me because I said, I'm gonna just expose this trick to everybody at Enjoy Church. You ready for this? I brought it with me. Bam! You see a pillow. I know what it really is. You know why? Because every morning, you know what this thing tells me? Just hit that snooze button. You good. Anybody hit snooze for like an hour? Just me? Okay, cool. Just 5 more minutes. You good. Five. What is 5 more minutes really going to cost you, really? Just get ready faster. Or check this out. If you, I don't know, don't brush your teeth, don't do your hair, throw on a jumper, put on some sweats, save 20 minutes, get an extra 20 minutes of sleep. How good would that be for you? Or do you really think anybody would notice if you showed up late? Do you really think anybody would notice if you didn't show up at all? Come on, you need some sleep. It's clear that you need it. And every single morning, this thing is whispering into my ear. It's causing me to sit in my comfort. I tell all of my interns at our church, Leadership Lesson 101, conquer the pillow. Because if you can't deny yourself the simple pleasure of 5 extra minutes, how in the world are you going to deny yourself the pleasure of when you're in the office and you see a cute girl and she says, what are you doing after this? And you know she's no good. How in the world are you going to deny yourself the pleasure of when you see your homeboy drop his wallet and you're like, well, I need some lunch today. How in the world would you deny yourself the pleasure of when you're taking a test and the person sitting next to you is really smart and you can see their answers and you know that they're smart and you know that you, well, you ain't. How in the world are you going to tell yourself no in those moments if you can't tell yourself no in those moments? Come on, sometimes when you're in comfort, it actually limits what God can do with you, what God, he wants to do with you. Because I think this is that sometimes when we're comfortable, we lose our fight. We lose that conquering spirit. And I want to close with the story of David, because David has an incredible story in the Bible, and we know him obviously as slaying Goliath, right? Like, it's a very popular story. But then it continues on where it's Saul has killed his thousands, but David, that man's killed his tens of thousands. He's a mighty warrior. He's a conquering warrior. Conquered the other nations, right? And so then we pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And look at what this says. It says, in the spring of the year when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. So look, this is the time where kings normally would go out to war, where David would go conquer more lands, right? However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. You know what happened right after that? The fall with Bathsheba, where temptation hit him. He stopped conquering and he became weak. And I wonder sometimes, what castle might we be comfortable in? Where we experience just a little bit of success and we're like, okay, well, I'm good. I can ride this out. All the while, God is saying, I have so much more in store for you. If you would just have faith and vision for your life to see it, it doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter how young or old or in between you are. God has so much more in store for you. He's not done with you yet. Come on, he has vision. Open up your eyes to see all the things that God wants to do. Come on, wake up, O sleeper, and see. See what God is trying to do. You know who I really love and adore? And I mentioned this already, but your senior pastors, Pastor Shane and Georgie Baxter. I think it's incredible. Pastor Georgie was in Tassie today preaching, and Pastor Shane was at the East Campus. And tonight I'm going to be at the Melbourne City location. We'd love to have you join us at 5, speaking a different message. Come on, join on with what God is doing. I think it's going to be so fun, but here's what I think is just wild. I talked with some people when I first landed on Friday. I said, so like, how many campuses do you guys have now? And they're like, I don't really know. There's too many to count. There's like 14 gazillion of them. I don't even know. Because you know what I love is the average church in the world, and this is kind of a guess, is probably between like 50 and 100. And if you look around right now, there's just a little bit more than that here. And they could have easily just been like, yeah, it's cool. We'll sit right here. This is great. This is great success. But you know what? They decided, no, we're going to keep conquering. We're going to pick up the sword because we know that there is a world out there that desperately needs Jesus. And so we're not going to stop at the West. We're not going to stop at the East. We're not going to stop in the state of Australia or the nation of Australia, but we're going to take it to Osaka. And God knows the Americans need help. Let's send them a location too, because you got pastors that are willing to say, no, we need to reach this world for Jesus. I believe that God is giving you that same message today to say, pick up the sword, start conquering again. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished in the past. What matters is what God wants to do in your future. I would even say this, you know what, is this generation more than ever has the ability to spread the gospel like never before because of our technology, as I mentioned. And think about this. If what could we do if we had this light just burn within us? Come on, let the light shine upon you. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, sleeping generation, and let Christ's light shine upon you. And watch what we could do. How many people could experience the love of Jesus? Because we aren't going to stay in our comfort, but we're going to go out and we're going to conquer more land. Come on, God has more in store for you. Does anybody believe that God has more for you? He's not done with you yet. He has vision for you. He has plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope in a future. He's going to keep going. As long as you have breath in your lungs, belief in your heart, and faith in your spirit, oh, he's not done with you. Would you praise God?